Episode 12 with Jesus Network. Welcome back, everybody. I'm one of your hosts.
You're not a host.
I was never good at this stuff.
Today we're talking about...
Way to take over, babe.
Yes. You've heard it before, I'm sure. We're talking about At the Movies, the church edition. Not yep. talking about the real movies in Hollywood. We're not talking about going to the movies. Mm-hmm. We are talking about the sermon series that takes every church by storm, usually in the summer. Some do it outside of it just to be different. But we do the same thing every summer, but we change the movie and we try, and by we I mean a lot of the church, we try to incorporate the Bible and scripture into hot summer blockbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And we dress up like characters, we show clips on a screen, we do these big elaborate stage designs, we do all the branding, all the things to draw people in because summer is a lower month for church attendance. So we got to do, you know, we got to pull all the stops, I guess. And I think some people might be like, yes, I'm with you, I hate it. And I think others might be like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's the summer. They're just trying, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But for me, and for me, it just feels like Jesus is not enough anymore for the church, where you feel like you have to use the Barbie movie or you have to use Star Wars or you have to use whatever's
Super Mario Brothers.
Super Mario Brothers. I've seen so many reels. It's not even funny. Toy Story. Adults just like Toy Story characters. Anyway, not for kids' church, for a real church. But it just feels
isn't
like...
Isn't that a great revealer? It's not for kids' church, but it's for the adults that we treat like kids.
Right. I wouldn't even want that in our kids' church. I wouldn't even want our kids' church to be like, hey guys, see Toy Story? Now we're going to talk about the Bible. It's like, well, why isn't the Bible enough? Have you read the Bible? Have you read the stories in the Bible?
They don't get old either.
They don't get old. They're not boring. They're way better than Toy Story and Barbie. I'm sorry. But it's like we feel this need, and again, we is not we, but this need to entertain and to bring in yeah. all of these things to keep people in and to keep them entertained. And we give them popcorn and we give them sodas and we make it. And it's like, guys, if they want to go to the movies, they'll go to the movies. They'll go actually see a movie that cost $100 million to make, not some little schlub production that the schlub. Church up the block did.
D's part Jewish, I think. Schlub is profanity, I think. I don't even know what that
Miles
word
is
means.
Actually 16%
Jewish. 16%
Jewish. He calls me a Gentile. Anyway.
She married up.
Anyway. So that's what we're talking about today, and we're just having a nice discussion that might get a little heated about why does the church...
I get
frustrated with it, though.
I get it. I know.
Because it's, like I said, it's saying, it's basically putting it out there, Jesus isn't enough for us.
Yeah. So I think if you back up, the reason that people have started something like this, you know, it started somewhere, and somebody said it was successful, and we should do this everywhere, and we should do this every summer, and... It spread like wildfire. And unfortunately, the reason that we did it was because it's a way to make it easier for Christians to invite their non-believing friends to come to church. So it's almost like we desensitize Jesus by inviting them to church where Jesus is not the main attraction.
Yikes.
So there's two things that happen with that, though. One, you're inviting them into a watered-down community where it's like, oh, just come. We're just going to talk about a movie. It's because the person that's inviting them is afraid to invite them to a place where Jesus' presence is.
Right.
Why are they afraid to do that? Because they've not been trained. Mm. So we have trained inviters. We've not trained evangelists.
That's good.
And that's the part for me that I struggle so much because apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers – the fivefold ministry, as many call it, is what is meant to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that the body of Christ can attain maturity, so that we can mature. So we have these, you know, shepherds who are not equipping the saints for the work of ministry. They're equipping them with invitations to bring them back to church where they're not even bringing them to Jesus. He's not the main attraction. The movie is.
Right.
Let's put the movie up there, and what's going to happen? You're going to bring in still mostly Christians, and they're just going to be the ones that want to come hear something about a movie. The problem that I have is when I see people that the whole statement with that the movies is always the same. It's like, we're going to explore the spiritual truths and themes found in the movie. And it just tells me that you have lost attraction to Jesus.
Right.
And we are the bride of Christ. When you are attracted to Jesus, you don't go looking anywhere but his word and his spirit to find out the truth. Because the Holy Spirit, is what Jesus said, is he guides us into all truth. So if you go looking for spiritual truths in a movie that was not pointing people to Jesus, you are really stretching them to make something happen.
Well, and here's the thing. Whatever, say what you want to say. Hollywood is evil. There's nothing in Hollywood. There's very little in Hollywood that's pointing people to Jesus. And you made a really good point earlier where you said, you know, they're talking about Marvel, they're talking about Barbie, they're talking about Super Mario Brothers, but why aren't they doing an At the Movies with Jesus Revolution? Mm-hmm. Like, there was actually a movie about the spread of Christianity in the 70s based on a true story. Why not use that movie to inspire people to evangelize? Why not use that movie? So it's like, if we're going to do these stupid little gimmicks, why not actually use the one movie that talked about Jesus? Instead, we're going to this, like, I'm sorry, but woke Hollywood, overly feminism garbage with, like, the most recent one I've seen is this woman talking about the Barbie movie and saying finding spiritual things in the Barbie movie. And I just don't understand what you're finding in this movie that does not.
Well, look, why are you searching for it? Why are you having to go to Barbie to search or any movie? Like, that is people who have relied on the gift of preaching and not on the insight of who Jesus is, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That is what we've left because we're like, oh man, I could preach.
Right.
I could find something in this movie and we're going to turn it and put people back to Jesus. And it's going to be that you're not pointing people to the Bible. You're pointing them to movies to pull spiritual truths. And this is a problem.
Well, I think we forget too that non-believers understand that the church is the house of God to some degree or another. They know that there's religion there. They know that they're going to get God or Jesus to some kind of degree, or at least they should. But yet we bring them in and we give them all these things of the world, but they are coming in expecting Jesus, but we're giving them something else.
How about if they come in not expecting Jesus, just give them Jesus?
Right.
I'm all about the Trojan horse, like where you're like, all right, we're going to go into this one area and we're just going to take over, or, you know, whatever, but to just give them what they're expecting already. And, you know, you've heard it many times, like, if gimmicks is what it takes to pull them in, gimmicks is what it's going to take to keep them in. And that's how you're going to keep them in. So now you have these believers who have been sitting in church for 5, 6, 7 years doing At the Movies every single year and not doing Heart of an Evangelist, not doing, you know, seeing the world as sheep without a shepherd. Why have we been so afraid to call the church up? It's almost like we are those unhealthy parents who want our children to live with us until they're 40 and want to make them breakfast in the morning every day and treat them like they're children, when really we'll be giving them milk when they need to get some bread and some meat. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we're keeping it from them. We're robbing them. And that's what the scripture talks about, how, like, in the last days, like, there's going to be those people. We're going to accumulate teachers that they're going to teach us according to our selfish desires, with the things that tickle our ears, basically. And this is exactly what we're finding. Yet I struggle when shepherds are not noticing that they're literally giving into that.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's not flashy and showy and fun and exciting, which is funny because it's actually the most fun to really be in the presence of the Lord. If I think of the greatest moments of my life, like, they're with him. You know what I mean? And of course, like, our wedding day and when we had our babies and all of that. But when I think about these moments that changed my life, I think about those moments at the altar or in my room or wherever it was that the Lord met me, and I really got to just be – in his presence. And so it's like, but we think that, oh, but we have to make it entertaining and we have to make it showy and we have to make it flashy and all these things, when really, truly, like, these people, yeah, believers and non-believers, yeah, need an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. They don't need a Hollywood movie theme when they walk in. They don't need a gimmick or a show or whatever you want to call it. They don't need the pizzazz, because the Holy Spirit is all the pizzazz you need, honestly. When, yeah, you get completely touched and marked by him, it's unlike anything you've ever experienced. But because we're scared, mm-hmm, of what people will think, we're scared about how people will react, we're scared about, we've heard it said, like, I think a lot of pastors are scared of losing the control because the Holy Spirit's taking over. And now it's like, well, wait, I'm supposed to preach my message, or I'm supposed to do this, or what if someone does something weird, and what if it freaks someone out? It's like, you know what we've seen so often when people encounter the Lord, or, you know, we've seen deliverance happen, we've seen real spiritual things happen in our church and in small groups and all this stuff, and even the non-believers are like drawn in, like, what happened?
It's biblical.
What was this? All right, it's for the signs and the wonders are for the unbelievers to see that this is real in our day and age. And so instead of being so worried that it's freaking people out, and we'll probably do another podcast about, like, why is the Holy Spirit not allowed in the church? But it kind of alludes to that, where it's like, but we just like to keep things in order, and we, yeah, like to keep things in our little box. And now, yeah, we've packaged the box really cute and really fun and really themed, and this is just what we're going to do. And you're going to get, you know, an exact same service every single time you come, or whichever one you come to. And it's just like, man, we're missing it, you know? And is it, and we always want to go back to, is it glorifying God? And I'm sorry. And listen, we love movies. I love movies. I love, sure, watching movies. They're fun. They're, you know, there's some that I'm like, I'm not watching that. But it's like, is this glorifying God?
There's a time, like, look, there's time for entertainment and movies. And there's a time to give God all the glory and all the honor, all the praise, all of the worship. And I think we have turned church into something where we've turned church into, it's for the unbeliever, not, yeah, for the believer.
Yeah.
So what we end up getting is very immature believers for a long time with very few unbelievers, yeah, who are coming, when really we should be maturing the believers that we've been given and been entrusted to, so that we can raise them up. We're supposed to be giving them sound teaching so that then they can go. You're supposed to entrust sound teaching to them so that they can go and teach others. But if we're not doing that, we're only teaching them to come to us and keep coming back to us, keep coming back to us. You know, they keep coming back for the milk over and over and over again when they need the real stuff. And I think we've just gotten so far away from what God designed the body to look like, the church to look like. It's supposed to be a house for him.
Yeah.
That's our friends over at Risen Nation, William Hinn. That's their statement. They even took their name of their church off their building and just put house for him up there, because that's all they want to build. And I think a lot of shepherds would say, yeah, but you're not reaching the unbelievers. That's why you need evangelists. That's why you, right, need the fivefold ministry operating within your church. We're supposed to be training them up to go reach the unbelievers. You know, when we were youth pastors, I remember talking to other youth pastors, and they kept telling me all the time, you got to get in their schools, man. You got to get in their schools, all this stuff over and over and over again. And we didn't have a massive youth. There's probably 80 to 100 students. And we tallied it up one time, and at one point there were 18 different schools represented: middle schools, high schools, private schools, public schools, everything you could think of. 18 different schools within our group of students. Wild, right? So we started realizing they're in their schools all the time. And I started asking the students a real question. I was like, hey, would you rather, you think your friends would rather have a peer share the gospel with them, or a bearded man show up, you know, a 30-year-old man show up to their school
with
to try
pizza.
To share? Yeah. Hey, come on in, kids, with my pizza. You know, whatever. But like, what do you think? And they want to hear it from a friend, somebody they have trust with, you know, like, who's been with them and walks life with them. So we started raising up evangelists, and our students started doing Bible studies on their campuses. That to me is far better than me going. This is why Jesus said, look, I'm about to go. I'm giving you my spirit so that you could be witnesses to the ends of the earth. There's 12 of you and 120 and waiting in a room. The amount of impact that's about to happen from this one room of people, right, when I'm not even here. we've gotten so far away from that. We've taught the church to come and bring them in. And then, you know, Jesus taught us that when he's lifted up, he draws all men unto himself. We bring them in, and sometimes we don't even lift Jesus up. Sometimes our songs are not even about Jesus. They're about us. Our sermons are about Barbies and not about Jesus.
I just can't.
And it breaks my heart. And honestly, I wonder for some of you guys in the big churches, pastors, if you turned your lights on during worship and didn't have the room blacked out like a concert, and you turned off the movers, the lights and the haze and the LED screens, what would the worship look like in your church? Mm. You will see the pure worship when you remove all of the other things that get in the way of them and Jesus.
That reminds me, when we were youth pastors, I don't know why we did it. I feel like it wasn't, I feel like there was a reason behind it, maybe like
we
a
realized
technical
the
reason.
Vision was getting away, and we said we got to get back to the vision.
Yes. So we were youth pastors, so we had the lights, we had the movers, we had the loud music, we had the speakers, all the things.
The movers were really some kid in the back doing this with the lights to make it look like it was going.
No, one time we had a whole light show for this one song, and then they didn't work. Remember, it was just bright white lights. Anyway, we had all that, and we were like, yes, we got to get back to this vision. And so we said, we're going to do this thing called chapel nights. And we used to meet in this like campground, and we were in this big space because we first started in the chapel, and then we grew. So we had to be in the bigger like lunch area. And we said, we're going to go to the chapel. We're not going to put on any like fancy lights.
We did no technology.
We're going to have no technology. We're not going to have power. Like, did I just say PowerPoint? Pro presenter. I'm so old.
What are those overhead projectors?
Yes, yeah. I had that when I grew up in church. Anyway, we're not going to have nothing like except a piano. And we're going to sing together. We didn't even have microphones. And the worship that happened in that little chapel with like 60 or 70 kids was one of the most beautiful nights I think we had as a youth group. And then this sweet girl, Gabby, came up, didn't she? And she said, can we do this once a month? And we were like, yep. And so we did it once a month. And it was like, it almost brought you back to the simplicity of what worship is and what gathering together is, what the church is, where it's like, guys, we're not here to be entertained, and we're not here to hype. Mm-hmm. Like, we're truly, and that's hard for youth. Like, you're taught, hype those kids up, you know?
But that's how you raise them up.
But that's how you raise them up, and that's how you have to keep them.
Yep.
And so now we're adults needing to be hyped up. We're all the ones from the 90s youth culture now.
We're
going to
blame all of the past youth pastors of the 90s.
No, my youth pastor was a saint. You don't blame him for nothing.
Are you kidding me? I fell in love with Jesus in a living room of a youth group where they had a screen hitting the wall of the room. We didn't have a band. We played Hillsong on, they didn't have Spotify back then. They probably YouTube, on CDs probably. Or YouTube or something like that. And I'll never forget the song Majesty coming on. And that's not a 17-year-old boy's like favorite jam to listen to in the car. But I fell in love with the Lord worshiping him when everything else was stripped away.
Yeah. I just really want people to be encouraged that like, just to strip away the gimmicks. You know what I mean? Like, we've got to get back to what is the church supposed to look like, and what is the church supposed to be, and we're the church, yes, but like, when we're gathering, what are we doing?
Yeah,
are we entertaining? Are we just coming together because we want to have a lot of numbers and we want to have a successful Sunday? Are we preaching the real gospel? Are we even going into the word? Like, how many churches have we visited where they read one verse of a scripture and then talked the rest of the time?
Sometimes they don't even talk about Jesus.
They find their own little revelation or understanding of this scripture. Sometimes don't even take it in context. Don't get us wrong. Like, we've done sermons that we've looked back on and been like, that we shouldn't have done that, you know? But I feel like we're trying to learn and grow and really truly just get to the heart of God, of pleasing him and drawing people into him.
Yeah.
And not just into our space and our building and our performance, but saying like, we're here to literally just for an audience of one. You know, you hear that all the time, but it's like, but do we actually act like that? Tiff Hudson, our friend, she just posted something, but I think it was someone else's post and she shared it. Mm-hmm. But it talked about the question, oh, how was worship today? Mm. Oh, it was good. Mm. And it was like, what a silly question to ask. Like, was it the only person that you can ask how was worship today is him. And so it's like, why are you asking your worship leader, your pastor, your friend, the sound guy, whoever, how was worship? It's like, we weren't worshiping you. You know, was it bringing glory to Jesus? Was it truly worshiping him? Were our hearts turned and fixated on you?
Yeah.
Or were we performing? Because that's what we've been shown to do. We're like this little Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have got to break away.
Yeah, I think so too.
From this culture of the overproduction. And don't get me wrong, there's a beauty behind production when you want to reach the ends of the earth and all of that. Like, we believe in that. We have cameras in our church. But it's just about the heart and the purity behind it. And why are we there? What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And what is the true heart of those leading and those gathering?
I want to challenge you guys, if you're watching this or listening to this, the second this thing is over, I want you to go on YouTube and I want you to search Strip It All Away. John Wilds is a friend of ours. Love him. Pure heart. I want you to pull it up on YouTube and just watch this moment that happened. I think it was at a Jesus conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to listen to this song, and I want you just to see what the Lord's going to put in your heart when you do this. And it might make you question some of the things that you've done, even church services or whatever. But like, we have to get back to the place of stripping everything away from us, where we only fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And I believe something special really happened. So I want you guys to take that moment right now. We're going to end right here. Amen.
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 Amen.